Hello and welcome to Changing the Record, the podcast brought to you by the Talking About My Generation news team, who are setting the record straight on growing older in Greater Manchester.
Hello, I'm Reverend David Gray, and I used to be the ape keeper at Bellevue. So when we were restoring the monastery, one of the things that I was doing was going into prisons with artists. We were doing stained glass workshops. We were creating angelic figures. And what we were doing was targeting the people who were serving sentences from our community. And we were saying, look, the community's on a journey. We don't want to leave anyone behind. Will you help us? And they were so touched that we wanted to help them. And I remember prison governor came in to one of the workshops one day and he said, I'd love to visit this monastery. And I said, that's brilliant. I bet the lads would too. And he went, I'll look at it. And they came, the lads who we were working with came with the governor, obviously with an escort, to look at the monastery. We used to get women out of Buckley Hall prison 2 days a week. Part of it was about preparing them after long sentences for leaving and how the world had changed. So he'd give them a fiver and say, pop to the corner shop and get us a loaf and a pint of milk. And they'd come back with the bread and milk and they'd go, honest, I've not stolen any of the money. That's all the change they've given me. And we'd say, we know, prices have gone up. You've got to learn this, you know, kind of thing. And we would skill them up. So one of the lassies ended up being offered the job as the prison correspondent on The Guardian. Yeah, I mean, I remember, sitting with her, going through the photographs of her when she went into prison, and she was emaciated. She looked like death warmed up. And she actually said to me one day, the irony of my situation is I had to go to prison to be freed from the things that were keeping me prisoner. My wife, in particular, was the anchor person for the small holding we developed at Debdale. So we were growing fruit and vegetables for the outreach projects for the homeless, the drop-ins and so on, to get fresh food in. And then we were rescuing chickens out of battery situations and getting 6,000 eggs a year into the diets of pensioners and so on and so on. And although we're too old now to do that, and my wife's somewhat disabled now, we still plant fruit trees. There are fruit trees just across the way. We planted them all down the green, but everyone pulled them up until they started seeing, hey, there's fruit on them trees that he planted. Hey! And so our dream is that kids going to school one day will be able to pick plums, apples, pears. I hate the fact that 40 years since we founded Life Share this year, that it's still needed this time on. I resist the fact that although we've done a lot to support food banks, I love the fact that people are responding, again, empathetically and looking after each other, particularly their poorer neighbours. But the fact that we need food banks in a nation like this, no. There's something dreadfully wrong with the mindset of our so-called leaders. And there's something dreadfully wrong in our fascination with them, that we keep electing the same kinds of people who will are not getting it. It sounds trite, it sounds like a lot of hippie bull, but actually all you do need is love. And what I mean by that is, if you respect and see the person, and when I say the person, I don't just mean a human, it's the same with animals, eventually you can create a climate in which that traumatised or injured or whatever soul is able to step into the fullness of who they are. And when people are who they really are, they tend to see others as they really are. So, again, that was a massive lesson that I don't think would have evolved as much without the apes and the other animals. So I can give you an example of what I mean. We lived on the West Gorton estate, which was at the time the most disadvantaged estate in Western Europe. Post-industrial, people were feeling de-skilled, past the sell-by date. Then there were industrial illnesses that, you know, were killing a lot of the people. And tensions between young people and the older generations were high, partly because of the footprint of the Moors murders in the community, which wasn't explained to the young people, but wasn't talked about, so they didn't understand why people were, wait, where are you going? Don't go far. I want to keep my eye on you. So we did a lot of work on the estate, and one night I could hear this really, really angry voice and this metal on metal smashing. And I thought, what's that? Everyone else was going in and shutting the doors. I came out and I walked around the corner, and there was a barrier coming out of a side road to stop kids coming from the local primary school running in the road. And this guy had a piece of scaffolding and he was smacking it as I walked towards him. And he just dropped the bar, came and hugged me. We ended up sat on the pavement. I had snot and tears all over there. He told me the story that he needed to offload. No one else would listen to, because all they saw was the anger. And his story was, my parents and grandparents campaigned to have that barrier put there to stop kids running into the road, but nobody would listen. And it was only when a kid ran into the road and was hit by a car that they put it there. And I was that kid. And he was brain damaged. But just telling his story was the turning point in his life. And the next time I saw him, I was shopping in a big supermarket, and I happened to wander down the gardening aisle, and there he was, selecting seeds. And I said, "Hiya, how are you doing?" And as he turned, I could only describe the look of an ascended master. He had such a peace on him. And he said, "Oh, I'm doing all right. I've got myself a job. I do people's gardens. And I make a living and I'm all right. And people like to see me and I like to see them. And it's good." And I thought, yeah, that'll do.
So when you talked about both that and, I suppose, your experience within the community there, your experience at Strangeways with families, your experience with the renovation of Gorton Monastery, yeah. You mentioned community several times. If we were to bring it back to the current day, we know that there's an event this summer that's all about sort of bringing back the community and trying to, is it inspired by Balvey to some extent, the event that you're running in the summer around community?
It is. It is, and lots of other kind of childhood memories. We used to walk a long distance as kids playing out, and there was a big wall, and I used to walk round it, not far from the hospital, funnily enough. I can't remember why, I used to end up in Harper A Road, so I'd come all the way down the long and winding road going back for my tea in the school holidays. And there was this wall that I walked round, and one day I thought, what's over this wall? So I leapt up on it. It wasn't a high wall. I leapt up on the wall and found myself walking through a field. And I thought, nobody knows this is here, or most people don't. Yeah, it's bloody lovely, this. And if I keep going that way, there must be a way out of the other side that'll bring me closer to home. I found a shortcut. I remember as I was walking along, a bee stung me. And I remember thinking, you're going to die now because you've stung me. Oh, I'm going to get over this sting. But there's some reason that you chose to sting me because I wasn't doing you any harm. And you know, just thought it and then forgot about it. And years and years and years went by until a few years ago was asked to do... I get asked to do Viking funerals, amongst other things. So the Daleks currently in another room because... but, you know, I do Doctor Who themed. There's the Viking armour over there. I've got friends who were in... the little-known women's wrestling stable at Bellevue. Well, they had to keep it in the day under the radar because, women wrestling wasn't kind of... But I've got a... So I've got a friend who was a woman wrestler who is involved in the allotments over near this meadow that I found when I walked over that wall. And I've got another friend who lives in Ireland who's a wrestling and boxing historian, and she too was a wrestler back in the day. Long story short, there's a group of reenactors from Eastern Europe in the main, Poland, Slavia, etc., who they practice for their reenactment in the massive shed at the Allotment Society. I went down... and met them, and they were doing shield wall, and I thought, I've always done martial arts, I'll have some of this. So I joined the group. And then, you know, as you get into conversation, you realise there's something bloody magical going on here, because these guys, they won't wear anything. When they're actually, they'll go to Ireland, Europe, Paris recently, Poland, other bits of England, you know, and they'll do these reenactments. Well, Bellevue was famous for reenactments. So I got involved with that, and then they won't wear anything that wasn't available 1,000 years ago. They really research their own DNA. Where did my ancestors come from? If I were a Viking, would I be a Celt? An Anglo-Saxon who was, you know, absorbed into the Viking or whatever, what gods would I worship? They really research it. So they're really in the mind when they do reenactments. So they're making metal. I mean, you can see the sword there. That's made exactly the way that Viking swords were made, or Anglo-Saxon or whatever swords were made in the day. Same with the helmet. Same with the longhouses. So for years I've been looking at, we've got to have a solution to homelessness, and part of the problem is that people no longer know how to build their own houses, etc., etc. So we decided we'll build a Viking settlement on the meadow. Obviously, we've got to get permissions, and we're going into the process. They've just become an educational charity in their own right. They're over the moon. It's suddenly gelled them, and they're saying, right, lads, no cans of beer even though, and we're going on, you know, because that wasn't available years ago. Only drink mead. And it's wonderful. And so there are women and men who do cooking, make clothing, wooden items, from bowls to spoons, items out of bone, items out of steel, weapons, farming tools, jewellery. And they build or longhouses. So we've got one in Yorkshire that they've been involved in developing on a farm. We thought, right, let's have the North Manchester, the Northman Meadow. And then the film Northman comes out. We think, great. So they get in touch with the cinemas. Is it all right if we come down in our kit? Oh, yes, please. So all these Vikings are sat in watching the film. And so we thought, right, Bellevue did reenactments. This year, the Bellevue weekend, and it's going to be the August bank holiday weekend, will be a Viking reenactment. We'll do it here on the meadow. We'll talk to the wrestlers and get some of the famous names of the day alongside some of the famous names of the present day. So we're talking to people like Ricky Hatton and Tyson Fury and obviously the Len Johnson campaign. I don't know whether you know about Len. Len was a boxer who was at the top of his game but was never allowed to win a belt because he was black. So we're looking to get some kind of recognition for Len in Manchester. And as part of the healing, we need to do something that reminds us of the racism of the past and the misogynism of the past, etc., and the homophobia and all of that, and say, there's a statue of Emily Pankhurst. There's a statue of Len Johnson, whatever, whatever. Focus the mind on, you know, moving forward as a society. So the weekend, as I say, it'll be the August Bank Holiday, and enough ingredients that those who do remember, and they're few and far between now, are able to say, yeah, once we had this place at Disneyland, oi, it didn't touch it. It was amazing. So, yeah, that's what we're up to. And it's just, I think, I mean, another thing I'm involved in is the local donkey centre. So 19 years ago, the Elizabeth Svensson Trust negotiates with the Allotment Society, which I was a member of, and the City Council to get some land in Debdale to develop a donkey centre. Brilliant. Works with disabled kids. Fantastic. Because, again, that presence of animals, so vital. And then in 2011, I did Elizabeth Svensson's memorial service at the centre. And not long after she died, the ethos began to shift. And it was cutting out the community. It wasn't working with as many kids. Just 19 years on, we're here. It and several other centres are going to close. Not on my watch. And the reason I really, really feel strongly about this is we let Bellevue go. We didn't have the skill base at the time to take on, the big players like Trust House 40 and what have you. And we've since managed to get a new Speedway stadium built and stuff like that. But we'll never get Bellevue back. But it's really important that the kids who've been using that centre and don't grow up feeling we let that go. So we're finding a way to include children in the campaign. We've got activity sheets for primary kids and we've got a public meeting tomorrow. And what we're doing is looking at the whole scenario. Why do the current CEO and the board of trustees feel it's justified for one of the richest charities in the world to suddenly start withdrawing from communities in poor areas like this and from the work with donkeys? They say that they're going to work with all the donkeys and no donkey, you know. But actually, they're missing the point about it's not just we who benefit from proximity to animals. They benefit because the more we understand and the more we respect, you know, spiders, bees, donkeys, whatever, the more aligned the planet's going to come in terms of, issues like global warming and so on. And it's one of those things we just simply can't let go. I don't want those kids to grow up. Because people on my Remembering Bellevue Facebook page, there are over 20,000 people. And they're all grieving for a place that no longer exists. I would say that's probably one of the reasons that I'm a Doctor Who fan. I'm the guy who, the community I grew up in, is no longer there. It doesn't exist. Bellevue is no longer there. And it's not about harking back to the past. It's about there are some things that are really worth preserving. And this Donkey Centre is one of them, because it's got the potential to teach us so much about how mistuned human attitudes, the human psyche and mindset is where the planet's concerned. So we in Debdale, we're also doing things like bat walks and nature. We've got the deer coming back into Debdale now. We've got mink in there, but that's another thing. We've got green parakeets that fly around in the park. So there are lots of ways that we could, and on the meadow where we're doing the Viking stuff, we've been able to track the deer from Blakely Forest, Heaton Park. They're coming all the way to that meadow because it's an ancient footpath and they're crossing main roads to get there. They're coming in the very early hours of the morning. I think we need to respect that and respect them. I remember my dad years and years ago coming home on leave. And he'd been in the Royal Navy. He was a tough guy. And he walked in, he was close to tears. And my mum said, "Oh, ah, David, go upstairs a minute while I talk to your father." And I thought, what's going on? So I sat on the stairs and listened. And he told her he'd been coming back through the docks and the stevedores were being ordered to throw boxes of fruit that were not we're just on the cusp of being saleable into the canal, rather than let the kids, the urchins who were running around, collect it. And some of them kids had rickets. And I never forgot that. And so it's really important to me, you know, sort of planting the fruit trees, but also leaving a footprint that enables kids growing up to understand that actually I could play a part in creating food, demystify it, make it something that is natural again. And I remember on a battlefield pilgrimage with veterans in Belgium, and we were coming out of the hotel in the morning to go on our little wander around those corners of foreign fields. And all these kids were going to school and they were all dead excited. They were cycling two and three abreast, chatting to each other. And we thought, what's going on? Why are the kids back home not like this? And then as we started to drive around, we noticed every school had a herd of deer, ponies, donkeys, whatever. That the children were involved in the day-to-day care of. And it just gave them such joy and animation. And I'd love to see that, you know, rather than kids feeling disconnected and, you know, kicking cans around and being a nuisance, whatever, which, no, I'm not saying they do. Some do, some don't. But it'd be absolutely joyful to be able to watch them walking through this community, knowing I'm walking on the footprint of there used to be a mill here, there used to be a pond over there, there used to be this, this, this. What might there be in the future? So that they're not walking through a grey post-industrial landscape, but through almost through time and space, history and all of that. And all that kind of kicked in because of the apes.
It's a good way to bring it back around. So just to sign off then, David, where can we hear more about the event in August, I suppose? And if you can give us a bit of detail about that.
It'll be all over Facebook. It will be no doubt on posters. It'll be passed on word of mouth. I'll be drumming it up on my radio show closer to the event. And people will know. But basically, it's if people think Abraham Moss and can get to Abraham Moss, where the college has allowed us to use their car park for the event, Everything will be signposted. If they're looking for the Vikings, they'll hear the clash of steel. They'll see the cooking fires. You know, they'll go. And they'll find them, and there'll be other signposts to where all the boxing booths, the wrestling, and all of that is going on. So it'll be a bit like Bellevue itself. It was, you know, if you didn't know the place really well, you just found yourself wandering around in this, you know, like Alice in Wonderland, going, "Ooh, what's that?" And finding that, you know, there was a little village. People seem to forget. There was just all sorts of things.
So hopefully that event will be a great opportunity for people to reminisce and remember some of their favourite memories, I suppose, and experiences through Bellevue.
Absolutely.
In terms of Yellow Jigsaw, thanks again for listening to the Talking About My Generation podcast. If you are somebody who has lots of memories of Bellevue, which I'm sure you are, there's plenty of articles on Talking About My Generation's website around memories of Bellevue. Of course, Remembering Bellevue is a really popular Facebook page if you want to check that out too. And thanks again for listening, and make sure you listen to other podcasts from Talking About My Generation and Yellow Jigsaw. I've been Christian Allen, and thanks again. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to our latest edition of the Changing the Record podcast. For all previous episodes and for the latest news, views and nostalgia for Greater Manchester, check out our website, talkingaboutmygeneration.co.uk.